The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. What's happening? How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Big morning.
Busy morning.
Busy morning.
News drops.
Yeah, we love it. We rarely get news drop this early, right? It usually happens exactly at 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, as Ron Flatter told us. That's when the news cycle begins, gentlemen. And so it usually happens right after our show, but we have a whole bunch of award finalists in the NFL to talk about here at the top. Drew Densick will join us from both the Deep Dive podcast and NBC Sports Bet the Edge pods to talk tennis and National Football League with us, maybe some NBA as well. Dano and I hit our tennis plays yesterday. Hope everybody got my Magda Linette play at plus 144 in the newsletter, or actually in the picks, visa.com/picks, and Dano hit with Ben Shelton plus the games. We'll see if Drew has anything. Mike Pritchard, our own Mike Pritchard from Pro Football Blitz, will talk NFL championship games with us, conference championships. Will Hill, we love it when Will joins us, NFL awards. We'll talk NFL conference championships with him and NBA as well. Maybe some college hoops. And Jason Weingarten, who I'm sure will have stuff to say about. I can't wait to see the comeback player of the year finalist. I'm looking forward to this. So let's start there. By the way, I have something to say about the Baseball Hall of Fame. As you know, I do that yearly. It's going to be a truncated version. And Mel Kiper has a mock draft 1.0, which we'll get to a little later on as well. Kelly's going to talk some golf with us as well later on the show.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
I don't know if we have enough time.
Yeah, it's one of those,
mornings where you need.
It's a Home Depot situation. Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have enough time for Bed Bath & Beyond. We'll see. Was that old school? It was awesome.
Yeah.
There are other lines that are famous in that, which we can't really talk about.
Frank, dang.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
So here we go. So let's start. Let me just, before we get into the finalist for every award, let us just set the groundwork of how this has changed. So in previous years in the National Football League, they only tabulated one vote per person, the person that they voted for to win said award. So that's why, remember, for years, people were always like, the big thing was like, Russell Wilson has never gotten a single MVP vote. Well, the reason Russell Wilson had never gotten a single MVP vote is because each voter only had one person's name to enter when they finally decided on who to vote for. They changed it this year. Remember in the NBA when they do MVP, they do it on a point system. You give your first five that you vote for, and it's 10. The point system is 10 points, 7 points, 5 points, 3 points, 1 point. So the NFL decided after all these years, because Russell Wilson could have been second place on a bajillion ballots, we just never would have known about it. So this is an AP award, the Associated Press. This is not an NFL award, but these are the ones that will decide whether your bets are graded or not. The AP's global sports editor, Ricardo Zuniga, explained why the organization decided to make the change from one vote to multiple votes after more than 50 years of rolling with a one-player-per-ballot system. Quote, the essence of the AP NFL Awards remains the same, to recognize the top performers of the season. Our goal is to provide the voters with an accurate and voting system to reflect their preferences. These tweaks will help them in their selection process. Now, here's the thing, Kelly. They didn't, as far as I know, they didn't tell us what the point system, like the NBA goes 10, 7, 5, 3, 1. I don't think the AP told us what the point system is.
I haven't seen that either.
But here's what I can tell you. For MVP, every voter enters their top five. For every other award, they enter their top three. That's how this works. Now, what does that leave this open to? For the first time ever in the NFL, it leaves it open to a person who gets the most first-place votes might not actually win the award.
Right.
Ergo the rub, ladies and gentlemen.
Now,
so that's your backdrop.
You would think that isn't going to happen very often, but it could.
If you go back, they've actually done this with NFL MVP awards in the past, and there are certain people who would not have won the MVP in certain years. Like, for instance, like Brett Favre and Barry Sanders would have, I think, tied back in 1997.
They would have tied. I think I'm looking at the same thing you are.
Rich Gannon had the most first-place votes in 2002, but I don't think he won, right? Peyton Manning.
Well, no,
What's that? Say again. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I think that's. Oh, I think that's just the regular first place votes.
Those were the first place. Oh, so but I'm looking at the season where because remember, oh, those are people that won MVP despite not getting 20 of the top
right,
first
and then
place.
The next closest finisher.
So there's so you don't know if they got fewer than 20 first place votes.
The second place numbers could come into play.
That's correct. So Rich Gannon might not have won. So those two guys who tied in 1997, Favre and Sanders, might not have. Like, we don't know. So here are the finalists. Kelly, I'll let you tee up which you want to go with first.
Yeah, we'll go with, how about Rookie of the Year here?
We got Offensive Rookie of the Year, specifically. Offense and defense. Here are your three finalists. On offense, Brock Purdy, baby. Yes, let's go. I have a plus 750 on Brock Purdy. Trust me, it's not as high as others, but I'll love it if he wins. Brock Purdy, who started 5 regular season games and played in 6. Brock Purdy is a quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, and that could be the difference. Kenneth Walker III from the Seahawks, the running back, and Garrett Wilson, the wideout for the Jets, the other two finalists. Purdy, Walker, Wilson. Defense, well, this one's probably fait accompli. Sauce Gardner, Aiden Hutchinson, and Tariq Woolen.
I feel like the Tariq Woolen one at this point is just like a sympathy. Like,
it's so bad.
Like, you had a great year, but you're not. We're not going to give this.
We're going to give it with the. Give it to the Sauce.
Like,
man.
Doesn't it feel like that is automatically everybody's third place? Like, it's like, yeah, which
or you know, second?
Yeah, or second, right? Yeah. But it's Sauce, and then however you did the next two.
Probably. Sauce going to roll, I think.
Okay, you want to go next up? We have Coach of the Year.
Okay, this is perhaps the most fascinating. By the way, this is an incorrect list now. So don't
call it. It's been shaved down.
So it was originally reported that there were 5 finalists. No, there are 3 finalists to this as well, and it's the top 3 names on this board. Brian Daboll, head coach of the Giants, who authored a big Giants turnaround. Doug Peterson, talk about a big turnaround from the Urban Meyer administration for the Jaguars. And Kyle Shanahan, who has coached up Mr. Irrelevant to a division title and now. By the way, the votes were already in before this happened, but now to a championship game. Sean McDermott and Nick Sirianni, who were originally reported as finalists, did not make the top 3.
Yeah, that was awkward this morning because they did release this first, and then it got cut down.
Couple comments on this, one of which is just Sean McDermott's never going to get this award. He's always going to be a Susan Lucci type. He's got Josh Allen. Nick Sirianni, though. Remember when the Eagles had 1 loss? Remember when their only loss was to the Commanders? And I used to come on here on a numbers game and I said, look, as long as it's 1 loss, it's an auto coach of the year, right? Because the record will be so cartoonish, you have to give it to Sirianni and there's no real question about it. As soon as they lost a 2nd and a 3rd game and the record became more mortal, then it's a free-for-all. And I just want to get back to my comment. When Dan Campbell was at plus 175 in the market, and Brian Daboll was at 30-1, and Ron Rivera was at 100-1. And what was my comment? There is no world in which these are the correct odds. Now, we'll find out if on the bottom side of that, if Rivera even got any of the votes at all. But on the top side of that, you now see what I'm talking about. Dan Campbell didn't even make the top 5. And he was plus 175 in the market. So I always say, we are often too close to the sun as bettors on these things. We stare at these betting markets so much every day. We're like, well, it has to be true. No, it doesn't. These voters aren't bettors. Defensive player of the year.
That is pretty shocking that we did. So Nick Sirianni is not in that final 3. That is wild.
And here's my thing about that coach of the year. Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Any one of those 3 guys, Daboll, Shanahan, and Peterson,
yeah.
I think reasonable minds would tell you you shouldn't be too aghast. Like, I know people have tickets, so people have their own, you know, betting interest, like I do with Brock Purdy. But if any one of those 3 guys wins, you should be okay.
Completely
with
agree.
You should be okay.
I think Sirianni should be right up there with that group, but whatever.
He should be. He may be 4th for all we know.
Yeah,
but he didn't
be.
Make the top 3.
But I'm with you. Even if it was a final 4, I'd be okay with any of those 4 winning.
I think those are the right 3. I really do. With apologies to Nick Sirianni.
But you're right. I mean, that is the perfect example of us being too close to the sun, right? Sirianni is odds-on favorite for most of the season.
3 finalists for the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year. Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, Chris Jones. I'd love for this to be Parsons. I have a plus 650 from before the season, but I think it's Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I think this one's handing it to Bosa.
Let's go to the next. That from Field Yates. A lot of guys reporting these things this morning.
We got Offensive Player of the Year.
Offensive
next.
Player of the Year. Oh, so this is not MVP. This is Offensive Player of the Year. It's Mahomes, Hurts, and Jefferson. So I'm going to assume Mahomes gets MVP, which he should. So I think this is either Hurts or Jefferson.
I think, and that we brought that up so many times, right? If MVP goes to Mahomes, do you do the whole two quarterback one and give the Offensive Player of the Year to Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, my comment was, can you shut Jalen Hurts out of everything?
Right.
I don't think you can, but we'll see.
God, Justin Jefferson's year was ridiculous.
It was
though.
Ridiculous. It's either Hurts or Jefferson. MVP's got to be Mahomes. We'll get to that. But here's a fascinating one. Comeback Player of the Year. Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Geno Smith. Saquon coming back from injury. Christian McCaffrey coming back from injury. Geno Smith coming back from sucking. Now, here's the thing I love about the Geno Smith haters, right? The very people who are like, it shouldn't be that award are the very people that have slammed him for years. So you are responsible if he wins this because you should have kept your mouths shut all those years. I think it's Geno. I've never wavered from that. I get it. It should probably be most improved, but they don't have that. It's all right. It's catch-all comeback player of the year. And then there's the MVP, Mahomes, Hurts, Jefferson, Allen, and Burrow. Who could argue with any of those five? Yeah. But it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, isn't it? That'd be a shock if it wasn't. These are fascinating. By the way, not in comeback player of the year finalists, Nick Gates of the New York Giants, Jason Weingarten on the show later. We're out of 40. Pour out of 40
pour
for
out,
Nick Gates.
Pour one out for it.
We're going to have a good talk with Jason later. That should be a good 90
Tickets
seconds.
Tickets that should have been.
90 seconds of him just railing about that. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. By the way, in the South Point studio, are the lovely, beautiful, can we just say that, majestic South Point Hotel Casino studio that VSiN operates out of. And we are thrilled to be here. We have screens on. So apparently, Ticketmaster is getting grilled on Capitol Hill about the Taylor Swift shenanigans.
Oh, man, yeah.
Congress is dealing with this? I'm just saying, can we all agree? There's not much this nation can be united on, but can we all agree that Taylor Swift tickets should not be the subject of a congressional
hearing?
There's
like 8 times a year where you're like, why is the federal government having to get involved with X situation? I mean, half the time it's sports, right? Where it's like, why are they having to waste time and money dealing with this?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. This is how our founding fathers envisioned it. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. One day there will be Taylor Swift tickets. Okay. By the way, one clarification, and let's just add this here. The clarification, because I said I don't know if I've seen a point system yet. Rob Motti puts this out. Rob Motti is an AP lead NFL writer, so he would know. And shout out to Moneyline Marv on Twitter for pointing this out to me. The point system, again, I mentioned that for MVP it's five, your top five are put in by each voter, and for every other award, it's your top three. For MVP Kelly, it will be a system of 10 points for first, 5 points for second, 3 for third, 2 for fourth, 1 for fifth. And for all other awards where it's your top three, it'll be 5-3-1 point system.
Okay. What was the MVP again? What were the top?
10-5-3-2-1.
10. Okay, so 10 for first.
So first is weighted heavily.
Yeah. They want to avoid that
they
situation.
Do want
they
to
really
avoid
want
it.
To avoid
for
that
MVP
situation.
For MVP specifically, they really want to avoid it. Yeah.
Because imagine if that happened in your first year or two of doing this, people would lose their minds.
What kind of like random player would you think would like win MVP? like just get a marginal player. Yeah, what do you know? Terry McLaurin is your MVP. How did that happen? He had 1,000 bajillion in third place. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick joins us. That whale_capper. He is the co-host of both the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor. By the way, Andy Molitor gets juice on this show every week. I love it. And Ladies and gentlemen, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. It's Drew Densick, whale underscore capper. How you doing, Drew?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I like the way that they set up the ranked choice voting scoring. You know, you don't want a situation where you find yourself before Congress answering questions about,
you
know, why did Terry McLaurin win the MVP? Like that would be bad.
That would be awkward. Yeah. Yes.
And I think, I think we pretty much know about half of these. I mean, Mahomes MVP is, you know, you can put it in stone. The fact that Justin Jefferson made it to an MVP finalist, means he's, pretty shoe-in, in my opinion, for offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year looks pretty strongly to be Nick Bosa based on all of the awards that I've seen people write about. Defensive rookie of the year looks pretty solidly Sauce Gardner. And then the other three.
Those are awesome because you don't know about the other three, right?
I mean, really and truly, tune in February 9th.
Yeah.
you'll find out then. I mean, the offensive rookie of the year, coach of the year, and comeback player of the year really could break anyway, depending on sort of how the ranked choice scoring turns out with some of the down ballot voting. So excited to see where those break. I think I'm going to get second place in almost every category. So I'm excited to tune in February 9th.
Yes. And what Drew said, and thank you for putting a bow on this, February 9th is when all of these award winners get announced. It's not like baseball where you have to wait till Thanksgiving to find out who the MVP is in the National League. And then they, on MLB Network, they dramatically say, and now Gertrude Harper, Bryce's mother, presents the NL MVP award. I don't know if her name is Gertrude, by the way, but you get the idea. It's ridiculous.
Gertrude Harper, yeah.
I wonder who's going to win. This should be fascinating. They milk 4 hours out of it. So February 9th, we're all live. Which is your biggest ticket, by the way, Drew, before we move on, I should ask.
All my biggest tickets are DOA. I think the only real upside I could have is if somehow Saquon Barkley takes the comeback player of the year away from Geno Smith. But I'm not very hopeful. Like I said, I think I'm going to end up with second place in almost every market. I covered all of my bases on MVP. I mean, there was a window of time where you remember when the Bills Bengals game, there were questions swirling if they were going to replay it. And, insiders were basically saying it's unlikely. I got heavy action down on Mahomes at that point because realistically, the only two guys I thought could steal it was whoever was going to win that game. So in the absence of a replay, it looked pretty clearly like Mahomes was going to be in the bag there. So the price wasn't great. I think I was laying like -500 to -800 ish, but that was probably the only way to get anything plus EV in the awards market in the final throws there.
Purdy is my guy. Just add it to my 49ers every which way season. Have them for NFC, for title, for, Super Bowl MVPs with Kittle and McCaffrey. Purdy for offensive rookie of the year is my guy. Kelly, who's your biggest, by the way, on these? Do you have one on any of these markets?
Tickets?
Yeah.
I have to go back and look.
Tickets? No.
Most of the time, people don't know. Yeah. For the past 4 minutes, I've actually been back here doing that producing side of my job.
Oh, sorry.
I caught some Shanahan at 30-1, but that was largely I had heavily staked Sirianni in the 20-1 range before the season started, and we got to like week 13 or so, and I was like, man, the only guy that can really steal this is Shanahan, because you're looking at the Giants with two games against the Eagles down the stretch, and you're like, well, they're going to lose both of those, so how in the world could Daboll get it? I'm sweating that now because Sirianni is out of the running and Shanahan is in. The third qualifier is Doug Peterson for winning the AFC South. My God, for being gifted the AFC South.
Yeah, but it is the juxtaposition against Urban Meyer, right? Like, that's part of that. It'll be fascinating to find out some of the reasoning on this stuff, right? Because, again, for the coach of the year, I get everybody's argument on Daboll and on Peterson and Shanahan. I think Shanahan's alive. I do.
Sure.
Because of, the Brock Purdy part of that. And so it all depends what each voter values. And, again, that's the big thing with the point system. If you get the most first place votes, it doesn't mean that you're going to win this. So that'll be fascinating.
I'm with Drew on this one. This is the one I've got. I think I don't know that I have an issue with really any of the other ones. This one I do have an issue with it. I would absolutely have Sirianni
over
in the in there over Peterson.
Over Peterson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peterson
yeah.
did a great job. But I think exactly what Drew just said. It's the AFC South. It was terrible this year, and they barely snuck away with it.
See, Daboll gets it because the Giants of all of these teams had the least expectation. And so I get it on the Daboll.
Eagles exceeded their win total by more than the Giants.
Yeah, but Drew, the people thought the Eagles would be good. We had a lot of people on this air that thought the Eagles were going to be really good. People thought the Giants would stink.
That's so why I bet Sirianni 20-1. Because honestly, I was like, they could be the one seed, and here they are.
But I want to say this about Daboll, though. That said, again, from an analytics perspective, Daboll shouldn't get this either, right? Like, he got credit for a lot of stuff that happened on the field that, quite frankly, was just good fortune. But they drew the line to Daboll, right? So,
there are a bunch of lessons learned to be learned about if you're betting these markets from this particular award market.
Yes.
And the reality is the Giants were not good down the stretch in terms of win-loss. They were 2-5-1 or something insane. But the important thing was the second to last week of the season, right before everyone really starts thinking hard about who they're going to vote for, they beat the ever loving bejesus out of the Indianapolis Colts. And it was literally like, wow, man, who could have guessed the Giants could do that? And it was literally, they're playing an FCS team, and they just bury them. And everybody's like just gushing over Daboll at that point. And it was like, In the same weekend that Sirianni loses with Gardner Minshew against the Saints, and it's like, well, I mean, can't consider Sirianni a realistic candidate. He just lost to the Saints. I was like, all right, this is a stupid award. Like, the Eagles were victims of being too good too early, right? Like, by the time we got to halfway through the season, people had clearly adjusted their power rankings to where the Eagles were a top three team. And so at that point, like, the perception of exceeding expectations was completely re-anchored. And just the fact that, the fact that they ended up as the one seed was sort of seemed predetermined because everybody had sort of decided, this is the best team in the NFC. So
I love this.
Sirianni suffers for that.
I love that Drew said this is a stupid award. Right. After they give these out, Drew, the fans should be able to vote on which is the stupidest of these. I'll tell you, AP, this is the stupidest one of these.
Go look at your past winners. This is the kiss of death. You do not last long after winning Coach of the Year.
Again, I'll say this. Campbell was +175. Daboll was 30-1. And Rivera's 100-1. There is no world in which any of that is true. We'll come back. I didn't mean to do a second segment on awards, but there's so much fun to talk about. We'll come back. Conference championships. And, Right Angle Sports has released a selection. Tell you what that is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. It is limited. Keep that in mind. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's U.S. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all. Why so serious? Gil, you said it the other day, and it's really proven to be true. Certain books really getting on their Twitter high horse lately, which is bold for books that are only live in three states to me. Yeah, look, why so serious? No one asked me for my advice. They never would. But if they did, you know what the advice would be? I'd be like, why don't y'all pipe it down a little bit? Just pipe it down. Your way is not the only way. This is from, Alan Mitchell. You both do your weekly power rankings. If you did coaches, where's Zach Taylor? I mean, he's not real high to me because it's like, hey, you were bewildered. Remember, that was the word I kept using about Zach Taylor. You looked bewildered on the sidelines, and then Jesus H. Burrow arrived, to use Matt Brown's term for Joe Burrow, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to say you're a great coach. You've done wonderfully. I thought you had a great game plan on Sunday, but I can't put you in the top five.
I was going to say, I thought he was awesome on Sunday.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, I don't think he's cracking my top five.
Again, it's like,
I think that's safe.
Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. You know, is Matt LaFleur going to be any good if Aaron Rodgers bounces? Which, by the way, we'll look at Aaron Rodgers' odds, where his next team will be later on the show. Joe Gibbs, three Super Bowls, three different quarterbacks, none in the Hall of Fame. Let's see, Nevada Azer. I see a scenario where Henny starts the game, Mahomes plays the second half after he receives a painkilling injection. Injections typically wear off after 1.5 hours. Expect anything with Kansas City. Well, let me just say this. Right Angle Sports, who we have on Fridays, or we did during 2022 to talk college football and college basketball, they just released Kansas City plus the points. Was it Kansas City plus 2.5, I want to say they put out? Or plus 2? Whatever it was.
I'm guessing it didn't get to 3 overnight, but yeah, 2.5 was where every year.
The thinking behind that being Mahomes isn't as bad off as it seems. Who knows? I don't know.
I also wonder, do they put out the points or the money line? Because
I think they did the points. Let's find out where Drew Dinsick stands on both championship games. Drew, let's start with the early game, which is the NFC game, before we get to the one we just talked about. Niners and Eagles. Eagles favored by 2.5. What you got?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm martingaling against Brock Purdy here. So Eagles are nothing. you know, this is the idea that two times in our lifetime we could have a guy from the bottom of the draft come out of nowhere and win a Super Bowl. I feel like it can't happen. So, no, in seriousness,
Is Tom Brady the other one that you're referring to there?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, yeah. Obviously, but yeah, the Eagles, I think, are the right side here. I make the fair on this game -3. I think laying 2.5 at this point is fine. Eagles fully healthy in this contest. Eagles with the sort of wave after wave of D linemen they can bring at you to generate pressure, which I think helps them in a game state where they're ahead. Eagles in general being able to kind of put this game away on the ground against the Niners, you know, with Hurts particularly scrambling on third and shorts with Nick Sirianni's ability to kind of see the plus EV stuff in terms of game play sequencing and fourth down, you know, when to go for it, when to punt, when to kick, etc. A lot of things to be confident about the Eagles in this one. Brock Purdy in general being on the road in a very, very hostile environment is going to be an interesting test. And realistically, it's just I'm fine laying the points with the Eagles here because I think in a world where they take a lead into the second half, you know, it's going to be extremely tough for the Niners to come back. So not a lot of huge edges championship game weekend as usual, but still think this one should be at 3.
Okay. We're not friends for 3.5 hours on Sunday. and then
hey man, if I came and said all of a sudden Brock Purdy's the man and he's going to rip, yes. Then you should be nervous because I have been wrong about him at every turn. So be you want me on this side.
Okay. I do then. All right. Bengals and Chiefs, the AFC championship with the Bengals, the favorites.
Yeah, so this one is bizarre market. Never understood any of the speculative play on the Bengals that pushed them into the favorites. Heard on Sunday that, you know, the only thing that was going to keep Mahomes out of the game is if he, you know, they did some more advanced imaging and found out that he had some sort of a fracture. And they, you know, I heard that they did not. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, they're going to pain treat this. They're going to send him out there. And he's behind one of the best offensive lines of football with the best arm we've ever seen in the NFL. So why in the world would he be a dog at home against the Bengals? And I still feel that way. You can credit the Bengals for their success down the stretch. I'm not taking anything away from them. That was an incredible performance against the Bills. They realistically could have won by more. But that said, this Chiefs team, it does not in any way, shape, or form deserve to be rated as a dog at home, even if Mahomes is out there hobbling on one leg. If he's out there with a crutch, I still like Mahomes. If he's out there getting a piggyback ride from Isaiah Pacheco, I still like Mahomes. You know, there's literally, I don't think there's any world where I can make them a dog if he is on the field. And so, you know, I'm on Chiefs here. Mahomes. I got a bad number, by the way, because I bet it on Sunday thinking like, okay, the reports I heard are going to be circulating at some point and, you know, Chiefs are going to go out to 2.5 here. And it went the other way. And I don't really understand the dynamics of markets like this because, you know, the books really only have to get this right by Sunday. Like it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong in the middle of the week here, because 90% plus of the handle on this game is going to come in on Sunday, and maybe even 50, maybe more. percent of the handle is going to come after the Eagles game is over. So like they realistically are not in a position where they must get this right early in the week. So I think that might be some of the reason that the market is lagging here in terms of just absorbing the fact that Mahomes is going to go. Because it, you know, if you do sort of a statistical breakdown, this price implies like some meaningful chance that it's Chad Henne taking the field on Sunday, and I'm just not hearing anything close to those reports from the people I talked to.
I did grab the Bengals in a teaser on Sunday. That was the one. I'm so glad I did.
Ah, that was a good plus EV play. You might have another crack at that this Sunday.
I might. By the way, Mahomes with a crutch. You said, what about a scooter, Drew? If he had the one leg bent.
Fred Flintstone. So here's my price.
Fred Flintstone,
Mahomes,
the other one.
Mahomes with the crutch. I'm Chiefs -1.5. Mahomes on a scooter, you know, like the one with the little, with the wheel.
Yeah.
I'm at Chiefs -2.5 because you know a little bit more ability to maneuver in the pocket with the scooter than a crutch.
Well, I think it gives him a solid plant too.
Yeah. You know, that's right. Right. You have a platform. You have a more stable platform with the scooter, surely. Yeah.
Australian Open. Anything in the women's semis tonight? Overnight. Man. Anything in the men's semis?
I'm sweating the biggest position that I took for the entire tournament with Sabalenka to ship here. Her fourth quarter price came home, which was solid. So I'm in decent position with my overall futures book here, but I still need her to win. I get it. Like Rybakina, like I am also I'm emotionally scarred from Wimbledon too, guys. Mm-hmm. Like that was a tough one. To see her, see Ons, collapse in such epic fashion against Rybakina in the final. And I have full respect for how good she can, the level she can be. And her defeat of Iga was extremely impressive. But what in the world is going on with this price against Azarenka? This is not, a clear lopsided match the way the market is kind of steaming right now. Rybakina, Azarenka is at the point now where, 35% chance the market thinks she has chance to win here. That's wild to me. This is going to be a competitive match. I like match to go three at +150 is sort of the best angle of attack here. And I think Azarenka's live. It's funny. You go back a million years ago when we previewed this thing, we forgot to kind of bring up the fact that there were only two women in the entire draw who had won the Australian Open before.
Yeah.
Sofia Kenin and Vika Azarenka. And they played each other in round one. And Vika was the winner.
The Rybakina thing is so true, though. And all I remember from Wimbledon was you having that big ticket on Jabeur and losing. But also, Rybakina acted like, I think my tweet was something like, that's like me being interviewed mid-jog when she won Wimbledon.
Yes.
She had no emotion, right? And when she beat Iga, same thing. Like, barely any. So she is a...
Robot Kina.
Robot. Total robot. So we'll see. Yeah. By the way, I think the same thing applies for Lynette against your girl Sabalenka. There's no way she should be close to $4.
I think that's going to be a tough one. Yeah,
it is. I'm nervous there. Yeah,
I'm nervous about that one. I mean, I'm always nervous about Sabalenka until she finally holds the trophy over her head. She is capable of finding her way out of a match at any time. So it's going to be. I might not even watch that one. I might just put the score notifications on and have myself a less stressful night.
She had a bad serving game yesterday, so we'll see.
Man.
Bad serving match.
Didn't love it.
And nothing on the men's side. Anything? I'm not going to ask you about Novak, but anything on the Khachanov,
Djokovic and Tsitsipas. I think both come through cleanly there. And I think Djokovic 3-1 as soon as it opens for the final.
I got your one NBA question, Gil.
Yeah.
Drew, do you believe in Magic?
Of course. They got a huge advantage tonight. Magic are going on a run here, buddy.
Drew, do us a favor. When we're off air, we'll get your picks. We'll tell them on the other side. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, best of luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick at Whale_Capper will get his NBA picks for you. Hall of Fame, mock drafts, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That's next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game, and if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Oh, that Rihanna halftime show is going to be something, isn't it? Just inundated with Rihanna video now. Are you excited about Rihanna? Or she likes to call herself Rihanna?
I could not care less about Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yeah, but let me rephrase this. It's Rihanna.
Yeah.
Oh, you can bet on this.
There are some that interest me more than others, but yes, that one interests me more than some in the past, but meh.
Rihanna doesn't interest you?
Meh.
Let me rephrase that. She doesn't interest...
No, she interests me. Yes, yeah, Gil. Right. I know. We all know what you're trying to get
so,
at.
So here we go. Drew has his basketball plays. What are they?
Yeah. NBA bets tonight. He's got a lot he likes on the card. There's actually a lot I like on the card tonight, too. Warriors. He is taking... laying the points at home against the Grizzlies. Reminder, no Steven Adams for the Grizzlies tonight. You will have... John Morant looks like he's going to play in this game, but keep an eye on some injury reports there. Steven Adams out for a while now on the Grizzlies side. He likes the Denver Nuggets on the road against Milwaukee. Agree with him on this one. I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger pregame, but they are lining this. It is anywhere between 7.5 and 8.5. And his point off air is they're lining this like Jokic is not going to play in this game when there's kind of it's a back to back for Denver. But there's no indication that Jokic is not going to play in this game tonight. So catching 8.5 points in Milwaukee, I agree with him on that one. I haven't bet it, but that is the side I would definitely lean to there. Then he is on the Orlando Magic tonight, as am I. That is actually a kind of big bet for me tonight. I'm a little nervous about betting on the Magic. Pacers on the second half of back-to-back coming down to Orlando. I laid 4.5 last night. That number's up to 5.5, 6. If you can get it before the 6, I think it's still playable. I wouldn't go much further than that. It's tough to bet. Tough to lay too many points with, you know, not great basketball teams, I'll say. The other ones Drew's on, 76ers. I might end up on them tonight as well. They host the Nets. Coming in, just kind of waiting on some injury updates on the Philly side. And then the Thunder hosting the Atlanta Hawks tonight. I do believe I will be on the Thunder side as well. I would wait on this one, though. We're seeing – this is kind of what I expected to see. The Thunder opened as one-point favorites in this game. They are 1.5-point dogs. No, there's going to be a lot of the public guys out there that want to bet the Hawks against the Thunder. Thunder team playing really well though right now. So I would wait on this. You might be able to get 2, maybe even 3 by the time this gets to game time. So I'm looking at that one as well. Only other play I made tonight is I did go over in the Raptors and Kings. Two great offenses here going in this game tonight. The best offense in the league right now in Sacramento, and 2 not so great defenses, Gil.
Two not so great defenses. All right, and Drew's tennis pick in case you missed it again. Victoria Azarenka, Vika Azarenka against Elena Rybakina. He is over 2.5 sets, which is +150. So basically, to go 3 sets, +150. That was his tennis play. Yesterday, Dano hit his Shelton plus games against Tommy Paul, +4.5 games. I hit my Lynette play. By the way, I mentioned on the show, both of us did. Like, we think we're going to make these plays. VSiN.com/picks is where those picks were officially. And anybody who asked me on Twitter, I will, of course, daily give them those picks out as well. So we had Lynette +144 yesterday. She got it done in straight sets against Carolina Pliskova. I'm not sure if I want to make a Lynette play today or not. I'm leaning towards not, but we shall see. Again, VSiN.com/picks and Twitter at Beating the Book is where you'll find that. Real quick, this is the day of the year where I always sound off on the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well, guess what, Kelly? I used to do 5 minutes on it, then I used to do 4 minutes on it. Now, because the Barry Bonds eligibility period is over, I'm only going to do 1 minute on it. Scott Rolen has been inducted into the baseball, well, has not been inducted, but he's elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. He will be inducted. Scott Rolen, who had 316 career homers, a .281 career batting average, and 2,077 career hits. Yes, he made 7 All-Star games and 8 Gold Gloves. Congratulations to Scott Rolen. Congratulations to his family. It's a huge honor for anybody. But we live in a world where Scott Rolen is now in the Hall of Fame and people like Barry Bonds aren't.
Yep.
And so, you know, I couldn't care less. Like, the whole thing has become so depressing. And, like, I couldn't care less about the voters for the Baseball Hall of Fame because, again, and I'll just make this for – and this is for those of you out here who say, oh, Barry Bonds did this – First of all, there's the hypocrisy that people like Pudge Rodriguez and Jeff Bagwell, and people here clearly did the same things that Barry did, that they are in and he is not. So there's the hypocrisy of those writers liking who they like and disliking who they like because he wasn't a good guy. Big deal. This is a Hall of Fame. Those of us who are alive now, ought to be stewards, custodians of a Hall of Fame that gets passed on to generations long after we're gone, so that those generations will be able to see the greats of baseball. Now, if you want to put on the plaque, but Barry Bonds was accused of this, that, and the other thing, but never convicted, that's fine. But to keep him out of the entire building, the entire shrine, is ridiculous. What arrogance. What absolute pomposity that is for baseball writers to do that. By the way, I could do a whole segment on the ridiculous national baseball writers. Mm-hmm. There's a national baseball writer who believes he's of some repute who won't come on this network because some host on this network, not me, said something political and he was not aligned with that person politically. He's like, I'm never going on VSiN again. Dude, no one ever called you to be on VSiN, right? Then there was another guy who like used to be on my podcast, but then like he wouldn't come on because he wanted to get paid on the radio show. And then Brent asked him to be on his show when Brent had a show. And he was like, I'll do your show, Brent, if you come on my podcast. And Brent told him to kick rocks. He's now in jail for domestic violence. I guess what I'm saying is baseball writers are kind of on their own planet. They really believe themselves to be real important people. And the Hall of Fame and the whole process of electing people and not is the greatest example of how absolutely arrogant and pompous they are. Anyway,
it just goes back to what you first said. Like, hey, Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen is.
That's it. End of story. Mel Kiper has put out his first mock draft. Mock draft 1.0. Season's not even over. I love it.
Love mock draft season.
I love mock draft season. You know what I should really have before we go into mock drafts? The mock draft up on the screen. So here's the deal. He has, and again, take this for what it's worth. What I do like about what Mel Kiper did, no trades, right? He just said no trades whatsoever, which is good because once you start putting trades into your mock draft, it becomes ridiculous because you don't know who's trading for whom. So he could have done one at the top, but he didn't, which I like. So the Bears in this mock draft keep their pick. Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia, becomes their pick because they would keep Justin Fields in this scenario and they would go elsewhere besides quarterback. But he does have four quarterbacks in the top 10. C.J. Stroud going to Houston at 2. Bryce Young going to the Colts at 4. Will Levis from Kentucky going to the Seahawks at 5. Woo.
Need that 5 to be a 1.
Sure. Comeback Player of the Year award. Now we're going to replace you, Geno. And at 9, he went with Anthony Richardson from Florida to the Carolina Panthers, which I found interesting that he slipped Anthony Richardson. Because, again, remember, after a year where quarterbacks weren't a big deal, remember Kenny Pickett was the only guy selected at quarterback in the first two rounds last year. We're back to the quarterback frenzy this year in the draft. And that's what's awesome. And there will be props. How many quarterbacks in the top 5? How many quarterbacks in the top 10? I like Daniel Jeremiah's mock drafts better than I like Mel Kiper's, but just a first sort of salvo, if you will, into the mock draft world.
I'm not positive there will be 4 in the top 10, but I would not be shocked by that, Gil. I think if you start talking 15, top 15, I do think 4 go. I'm going to say this 72 more times before the NFL draft actually occurs.
72.
All it takes is one team to fall in love with someone. Anthony Richardson and Will Levis might be the perfect examples of. You know what? Half the league wouldn't draft him in the top 10, but one team would, and that's all it takes.
It's just going to be awesome. And if you're a team like Washington, who's like, what, at 15 or 16, somewhere in the middle, you want a quarterback, you're going to have to trade up. And I say trade. Like my whole thing is this. Trade it all. Chase Young, 2 firsts, because I love C.J. Stroud. I know there's a lot of people who don't.
Me too.
I love that dude. 6'3".
And this is getting close to a bet for me, Gil. I have Will Levis as the first overall pick right now from before the season at 40-1. I think C.J. Stroud, we start approaching 3-1 on first overall pick with everything that could happen. I think it's going to be a bet for me.
Me too. Think so as well. By the way, they had my guy Jaxon Smith-Njigba going to the Jets. that he is the year after they drafted Garrett Wilson. That's who Kuiper had slotted for the Jets in the first round. That dude is going to be ridiculous.
We can look at first wide receiver drafted odds later. Yeah. I have that.
Oh, okay. We'll do that. Mike Pritchard joins us on the other side to talk NFL Championship Weekend. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.